week, as you know, I've had the privilege to watch the children and volunteers in our church and our community participate in VBS. It is such an awe-inspiring week. All the work we go to get it all ready, and then it's here, and it's just even more amazing than we can imagine. So much joy from the children and the volunteers who give up their time to help. The dancing, the singing, the crafts, the games, the Bible stories. It all reminded me this year of how much better everything works when we work together. Our theme was shipwrecked, rescued by Jesus. Each day had a different theme. When we are lonely, Jesus rescues. When we're worried, when we struggle, when we do wrong, when we feel powerless, Jesus rescues. As I watched VBS and thought about the times Jesus had rescued me, I realized that none of those times was I rescued alone. It's always through community, through church, through friendship. Friendship and the community where those friendships are forged are so often the places that God's amazing work is done. I know that many of you can think of friends who are dear to you, friends that have made an impact on your life, forever friends, or friends for a season. Friendship might mean getting coffee together, play dates with your children, deep, serious conversations, vacations together, shared history, or new adventures. I know that for me, at one time in my life, a mark of friendship was someone being willing to wander around Target with me. However we define it, friendship is an important part of our lives. It is at the core of community. And as I have said many times before, we were not created to live in isolation. We thrive more when we are all connected with others, when we share our life, our struggles, and our joy together. Science has even proven this. It has been shown that certain parts of the brain structures do not develop when deprived of social interaction. Church is the same way. Church is not something we do alone. Church is something that we do together. Our faith is more fully developed when we experience it in community. In some Christian circles, the primary, if not exclusive, emphasis is on having a personal relationship with Jesus, having an individual conversion experience and individual spiritual growth. There is thought among that group that church, if it's necessary at all, serves our individual spiritual needs. Church becomes more like a voluntary organization, like a fraternity or a sorority, a soccer team, a gym membership, a service organization. Tish Warren, the author of our book, Liturgy for the Ordinary, says if we believe the church is merely a voluntary society of people with shared values, then it is entirely optional. The church helps you with your personal relationship with God? Great. If not, I know a great brunch place that's open on Sunday mornings. This is not to say that a personal relationship with Jesus is not important. It is, and is a vital part of our faith. However, it is not the sum total of our faith. We, as people who adhere to the Reformed tradition, profess a long history that it is impossible to have a relationship with Jesus outside of a relationship with the church. John Calvin, one of the early reformers and the author of the Encyclopedic Institutes of Christian Religion, which still inform and shape our thoughts, said he can no longer have God for his father who has not the church for his mother. Scripture itself reflects this. The stories in our Bible were first shared in oral tradition passed down. The only reason we know anything about Jesus is because his disciples told their friends, their neighbors, and enemies about him. The apostles preached and wrote down his teachings and stories, and believers have carried this message with them everywhere. Our faith is not lived out in a quiet room alone. It is lived out talking about it in a group of people. We talk to each other during worship, call and response. The worship leader says something and you talk back. We speak to each other during the passing of the peace. We sing together during hymns. When we do this, as Warren says, we are being the church, speaking words of life to each other, showing up for each other again. Church is about more than sitting down, listening, and leaving. It is about forming us into a community. The author of Hebrews knew this, and even then, people were forgetting the power of the church. Hear again what the author says. Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other in community, not alone. This community, this congregation, is where the real work of faith formation is done. Sometimes we hear something in worship. Sometimes we're moved by the words of a hymn or a scripture, and it forever changes our faith. But mostly, our lives and faith are shaped by the people with whom we interact. Our friends, acquaintances, pewmates, and conversation partners during fellowship hour. Those with whom we spend our time often have the greatest impact on our worldview, thoughts, and actions. Who our friends are says a lot about who we are. Friendship, as we talked about, can mean different things. When we're young, it's about playing and having fun. Friendships are made easily, and the circle is large. Connor, my 2-year-old, calls everyone he meets a friend. But as we age, friendship begins to change, to become a little bit more about sharing our lives, our favorite things, our hopes, our dreams, our fears. And the circle gets smaller. Friends are easily made as children and harder to come by as adults. We are busy, we have a hard time setting aside time and energy required for a relationship, so we tell ourselves. Children don't seem to have this problem, although I did recently have a longer than anticipated text conversation with one of Audrey's friends' mothers about trying to arrange a sleepover, and after 30 minutes of texting, we were able to finalize a date exactly a month from the day we were texting. We are busy people, sometimes too busy for friendship and too busy for church. So friendship becomes more surface level and about rather than about sharing our life. And church does the same when we see it as something to check off on our to-do list and less about seeing the people that we share our life with. When we get in this mode of busy, busy, going, going, we know there is more and we thirst for it. We know there is more to friendship and more to our church experience. We know this because at some point in our lives, we have experienced that connection that changed us and resulted in who we are today. Have you ever had that friend, the one who's been with you so long, their history is intertwined? That friend who you are not sure you could get by without? I have had a few friendships, which at the time seemed like the most amazing relationship in the world. I have only had one that has become that. My friend Amy, who was my college roommate. We met freshman year at Baylor. She was in the room across the hall from me. I can remember very clearly our first conversation. I came out of my room to go down the hall, and she was sitting there crying. I sat down to talk to her and found out that she had just had a big fight with her boyfriend. Somehow, in the course of our conversation, I asked her if she and Josh were going to get married. They did not. She said, "I thought so," with fresh tears. I proceeded to convince her that I had been married in high school and it was not all it was cracked up to be. She listened and said, "Really?" And I said, "No, but you're not crying anymore." And our friendship was born. That also is the only time I have ever been able to pull one over on her, something she continues to do to me today. Amy and I lived together for the next 3 years and have not lived in the same city since. In fact, we have not lived in the same state in almost 15 years. But we talk every day, sometimes twice a day. We got married 20 days apart, had children within months of each other, and both work in ministry. We know each other's history, even that history that predates our friendship. I can tell by the tone of her voice when she answers the phone if something is wrong, and the same for her. She can tell me when I'm being unreasonable, and I can tell her when she might need a perspective change. We love each other. We have rescued each other many times. Amy is what Madeline Lingle calls a friend of my right hand, a friend whose life has become so bundled up with mine that I can't make sense of it without her. Amy and I share a friendship that is deep, but what strengthens our friendship is not something we have done. It is because we share a deep faith. Our friendship is built on a shared faith of Jesus. Part of my understanding of my faith journey was formed in large part to Amy. not alone, but through conversation and experiences with her in college and beyond. We are both people baptized into the family of Jesus. We share communion, rarely in person, but in spirit. Our author puts it well when talking about one of her own friendships. Our relationship is not merely relational, two friends who love God and love each other. It is institutional, and it is wrapped in ritual. Our friendship is call and response. We call, the other responds, with words of comfort, with words of hope, with words of laughter, sometimes words in a text or voicemail. Just like the church, our worship service is filled with telling each other words of hope, words of comfort, words that are hard to hear, and words that are a balm to our spirit. Worship at its best is friendship enacted in conversation with God and with each other. Despite what the world outside these walls tells us, the truth is we cannot walk through this life alone. More and more we hear that loneliness is a problem of an epidemic scale. Friendship is hard to come by, time is at a premium, and there's only so much of us to go around. But we profoundly need each other. We know this to be true, and nothing takes the place of human-to-human connection, intimacy in caring and sharing our lives. Scripture begins with Adam getting a friend, because it was not good for him to be alone. And there is story after story where we hear again and again, you cannot do this life alone. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us so. You heard, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. We need each other. And so God gave us the church, the bride of Christ, to walk through this world together, to lift each other up when we fall, to laugh together, to eat together, to mourn together, and simply sit in pews on Sunday mornings together. We call and respond. We work out our faith together, asking the hard questions, sharing the joy, and knowing we will always be welcome here because we are friends. When you leave this sanctuary, you do not leave church. Rather, you take church with you into all your interactions. The conversations you have today at fellowship time, the conversations you will have with your family and friends over lunch, and the conversation Amy and I will have tomorrow morning are not only parts of our stories, but of the larger story of Christ's redeeming and rescuing love. This wholeness that we long for is not truly complete until we are together. As theologian Leslie Newbegin writes, none of us can be made whole till we are made whole together. We are all in this life together. I am so grateful to share my life with the people in the pews in front of me and the people I have shared pews with in the past. My faith is formed by you, and I hope that your faith is formed by me. Together, our friendship through Christ strengthens and supports us. In all our living, we can experience the fullness of the life Jesus makes possible. So when we are lonely, when we worry, when we struggle, when we do wrong, and when we are powerless, Jesus rescues. This amazing, diverse, dynamic, and loving body he gives us, rescues us. Thanks be to God for God's amazing love and grace. Amen.